It's good to be here. Somebody told me early this morning when we walked in, thank you for coming this morning and bringing the word and all that stuff. And I thought, man, what an honor it is to be here this morning in the house of truth, a house that preaches truth. It's founded on truth. Their purpose is to proclaim the truth and share that with everyone that they know and everyone that they meet. See, I just believe that we don't have to wait till the rapture to see who's going to go up. Yeah, if you're waiting for the rapture, you might be surprised. But I mean, if you're following God, God's done a work in your heart, and the world can see that, the world can feel that, the world knows that. There's a hunger in the world for truth right now. There is a hunger in the world for God's a reality in serving God. See, religion has slain millions, but salvation only killed one. Hallelujah. Religion has killed millions. All of the wars over the years have been fought over faith and religion, but salvation, it only killed one. There is a hunger for the truth of God's word. There is a hunger, hallelujah, for a move of God in our heart that's life-changing. People are tired of being given false hopes and ideologies and catechisms that a list of rules and regulations that they live by, hallelujah, that doesn't make a change in their life. It gives them no hope. It only brings them disappointment because they put their hope in a man's a doctrine or a man's belief, and when it doesn't fulfill the need in their life, when it doesn't fulfill and give them spiritual healing, then they begin to doubt, and doubt moves in and overshadows them, and they lose faith when God is the answer. When just coming to God honest the way that we are, hallelujah, just being humble before God and realizing, just like Brother Chris said, we don't have the answers. It's not within us. Hallelujah. The wrath of man does not the righteousness of God. My anger, my desire, all of those things, it doesn't. I have to be drawn to God by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody just say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good, and he's just such a mighty and an awesome God. Hallelujah. We got an opportunity here not too long ago to go to a place that's only been discovered about 10 years. It was the altar that Joshua built when they came over the Dead Sea. They entered into the land of milk and honey, and Joshua built an altar, and we stood there. It was a really neat opportunity because nobody gets to go there. You only get to go there under armed military guard, and you have to be in armored vehicles. And we got in this vehicle that had glass about that thick on all the windows. And you could see where bullets had hit the windows, and it had, you know. So it was a really neat opportunity. And we got to go there, and we stood between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, the mountain of curse and blessing, and read the scripture where God had told his people. He said, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can be cursed or you can be blessed. You can live right and follow my word, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will supply your every need, and I will bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey, and I will heal your diseases, and I will meet your needs, or you can walk away from me, and you can suffer the consequences. You can walk away from me and not feel the grace of God and the mercy of God. You can walk away from me, hallelujah, and not heed my voice and not heed my spirit, and you're going to be overtaken. You're not going to win your battles. You're not going to, hallelujah, be healed from your disease. You're going to wish that you had listened to these words, hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with me today, I want you to go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are you going to preach on this morning? I don't know. Yeah, that's right. The Holy Ghost is going to preach. If it's me, man. If it's me, man, we're in trouble. But if it's the Holy Ghost knows what we need. Hallelujah. And I appreciate the Lord so much today. Hallelujah. Actually, go with me to the book of Exodus, if you will. See what I mean? I'm just testing you to see if you know where your books of the Bible are. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12, verse 33. Hallelujah. Pray for Kevin and Sean this morning. God's going, I know he's going to use them and magnify himself through them. Hallelujah. Now, I want to kind of preface this scripture that we're going to read just a little bit here by talking about the Exodus itself, the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and how that it came about. Remember that Moses went to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go and worship him. And Pharaoh said, yeah, do what you need to do here, but you're not going to leave. You're not going to be set free. And Moses said, we can't worship our God here in these confines. Our God is holy. He's righteous. He's set apart. He's different. He said, we have to worship God the way that he has told, the way he has dictated our hearts to worship God. So after a little bit of this, Pharaoh finally says, okay, Moses, you go and worship your God, but just don't go too far. See, the whole mentality of the world today and the church world today is you can be religious, you can act saved, just don't go too far. Don't start preaching on the Holy Ghost. Don't start preaching on holiness and righteousness. Don't go too far. You know, you can talk about sin, but don't talk about abortion and homosexuality. You can't list those things. That's going a little bit too far. You can say you're a Christian. You can say that I believe in God, but don't tell the world that you hear from him. Don't tell the world that he tells you what to say. Don't tell the world that you actually hear his voice. That's going too far. I'm going to tell you something. There is a special place for people who disregard the Word of God and faith in God's people and God's children to the point that they call listening to the voice of God insanity. There's a special place. I pray that woman. Hallelujah. I pray that she finds a place of repentance. Hallelujah. Because you can stand up for the Muslims and you can stand up for the homosexuals. Hallelujah. You can stand up and rejoice. Hallelujah. That our Olympic athletes are coming out. Hallelujah. And we herald that. But when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hearing his voice, they call it insanity. Hallelujah. The world is screaming to the church, don't go too far. Hallelujah. But it's going to take the church going too far. Hallelujah. It's going to take prayer like we've never prayed. Brother, how many's been coming to Sunday morning prayer meeting? I bet with more than that was here for breakfast. Yeah, what are we hungry for? The things of the world or the things of God? Hallelujah. Man, I remember when you didn't go to church unless you got there 30 minutes or an hour early, and we didn't go around I'm not knocking high-five and get this right. Hallelujah. It wasn't fellowship time. It was prayer time. I see more people get the Holy Ghost in a prayer room before church than I did at an altar back then because people came, hallelujah, with the mentality, I'm going to go to church tonight, and I'm going to go too far. Hallelujah. I'm going to go beyond my flesh. I'm going to go beyond, hallelujah, what I'm expecting, and I'm going to get something from God. I'm going to church with the sole intent of going too far. You can't make me not worship God. You can't make me not say that he's great and mighty and worthy of praise and glory and honor. I mean, won't you just come to church next time to go too far? Just show the world, hallelujah, you can't stop me. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I come to church tired sometimes. I get up and just run a lap around the building a few times just to show the devil, I'm going to go too far tonight, devil. You ain't going to keep me there. Exodus, don't go too far. Hallelujah. So they came back to Egypt. They're in Egypt. And finally, God had just shown his glory in a way that could not be confined and doubted. So now the plagues have happened. There's the dead in Egypt. And not only are they letting the children of Israel go, if you read about the people in Egypt, they wanted them to go. They was pushing them out. get out of here. Lest we all die. You know, we've lost the firstborn. Now you leave before we all die. And we're going to take up right about there. Exodus chapter 12, verse 33 says, the Egyptians were urgent with the people to depart, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we are all dead men, or lest we all die. Bible said, the people took their dough before it was even leavened, their kneading bowls being bound in their clothes on their shoulders. They just grabbed some things and ran. And the Israelites did according to the word of Moses, and they urgently asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and clothing. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked. And they stripped the Egyptians of these things. They walked out. The children of Israel walked out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt. They didn't walk out with nothing. They walked out with the wealth of Egypt. And in verse 37 says, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides women and children. Pay special attention to chapter 12, verse 38. And I want to read this. And a mixed multitude went also with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. I want to talk a little bit about the mixed multitude this morning. I want to talk about these people. Many theologians have argued over the year who they were, and we can read all these things. But I want to tell you, it was the purpose of the children of Israel leaving Egypt, how he was to go worship God. The whole start was we must worship our God. We must have the freedom to worship the God of glory, the Creator. And they left Egypt with the purpose of following the voice of God and the leading of God and to worship Him and to fulfill His will. Now, not everybody who left Egypt left for that purpose. Some of them, hallelujah, went there. Most rabbis believe that most of them were people who wanted to rob the children of Israel of the wealth that they left. And they went there with the sole purpose of stealing from them. A lot of them were probably slaves from other nationalities and other countries who were enslaved in Egypt. Hallelujah. But now that the children of Israel are leaving Egypt, they're leaving too. Hallelujah. Let's get out of here. And a lot of them, hallelujah, just to be honest, were people that had seen the mighty hand of God fall upon the Egyptians. Hallelujah. And they said, I want to be part of that. I want to follow that. Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, who seen a revival in the book of Acts and said, I want to be a part of that. Hallelujah. But their heart wasn't in serving God. Their heart was just being counted part of the number. Sometimes, hallelujah, it's in vogue to go to church. It's in vogue to put the sticker on the back of your car. It's in vogue to wear the special shirts and the special things that say, that pronounce to the world that I'm a Christian. It's in vogue, hallelujah, to know certain things, hallelujah, that's in the Christian dialect today. It's in vogue to know certain people. It's in vogue to do some of these things. But if your heart is not in serving God, my friend, I don't care what you wear, hallelujah, and I don't know if you don't have a heart of prayer and holiness and worship to God, if you're not seeking truth, hallelujah, you're part of the mixed multitude, hallelujah. These people wanted to worship God and follow God, hallelujah. The mixed multitude, hallelujah. This mixed multitude. One place in the Bible, or some translations call it the rabble. The rabble. Yeah. See, Ananias and Sapphira, they were the rabble. They wanted to say, oh man, look at this revival we're having. Look what's going on. I'm part of those people. But their heart wasn't in it. They lied to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, Simon the sorcerer, he's seen people being filled with the Holy Ghost, seeing people being set free, seeing people be healed. And he says, how can I do that? So I got some money here. I can pay you off if you can show me how to do it. See, hallelujah, how can I? There's more people that's studying the Word of God today to win an argument than there is to save a soul. There is more people that's studying the Word of God to get somewhere on YouTube, Facebook, show somebody what I learned, what I know that's more than what you know, and I'm just going to show you. No, the mixed multitude. They're with us. They sit in church with this, the mixed multitude. Their heart's not in worshiping the God of glory or lifting up the God of creation. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, the mixed multitude. Hallelujah. I want to go, hallelujah, Numbers, I believe it is. Y'all excuse me. I'm having a little vision problem, so it takes me a little while to focus in. Even with sometimes I got to the place where I put on two or three of these readers every once in a while. It's not just one pair. I got them stacked up there. Hallelujah. Now, the mixed multitude, the rabble, hallelujah, they usually show themselves. Eventually, they become very disingenuous. They become very discontented. They begin to murmur and complain. Have you seen? I tell you what, hallelujah. Complaining never helps any situation. It just doesn't. But that mixed multitude, you know, it's too hot. Then the next service, it's too cold. Nobody shook my hand and they weren't friendly. Hallelujah. All he wants to do is preach on this or that, and probably the reason is because you need it. If you'd have heard it the first time, he wouldn't still be preaching. God give him something else. But, you know, God loves you enough. He's honing in on you to get you right. And here you are. You're rebelling at the mixed multitude. You know something? Hallelujah. I thank God for his correction. I thank God that he loves me enough to show me right, to turn my head, to turn my attention, to correct me. The Bible says that he chastens those that he loves. And when God gives me a correction, a spanking, when God corrects me, it's just his love showing through. It's him showing how much that he loves me and he corrects me. When he talks about things, I don't know about you, you know, giving up alcohol wasn't a big deal for me. It was not a big deal for me to quit drinking. It just wasn't. Never did want to do drugs. It wasn't a big deal to say I'll never smoke that stuff again. You know, didn't really want to smoke it when I was in the world. It wasn't a big deal for me to give up pornography. We was raised up in a house where if you even said that word, you got slapped. But Daddy, we don't talk about stuff like that. What wasn't a big deal for me? You know what the things in my life were, which is harder to get rid of, I think, because they're easier hid, you know? It's easy to hide a little bit of self-righteousness down in there somewhere. It don't show. Oh, it shows. It just doesn't cause you to be intoxicated, not physically anyway. It causes you to think messed up. Bitterness, hatred, the mixed multitude. Laying aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset. You know, we're going to talk some more about the mixed multitude. What about in your life? Those little things in your life, hallelujah, that you don't want anyone to know about and you don't want anyone to think about. You just want everybody to think that you're so holy and you're so righteous and you got it all taken care of. But down inside of you, there's a mixed emotion. Every once in a while, in all of your spirituality, there's somebody you got to deal with. And it's going to show us the mixed multitude down in your spirit, in your heart, those things that God really wants you to deal with, really wants you to talk about. How we talked about giving. We talked about, Brother Chris was talking about giving. You know, giving a lot of times actually shows your spirituality. It actually shows your priority with God. It actually shows what God means to you. I'm not trying to get your money. I don't want your money, and I'm pretty sure nobody in here does. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. If God, if it's so hard for you to give to the God who saved your soul and brought you out of the pits of hell, if it's so hard for you to reach in there, hallelujah, and pull out some money and give it to God willingly, hallelujah, willingly, joyfully, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. My prayer is, God, give me more to give. Give me more to give. Hallelujah. 10%. Hallelujah. Am I going to make y'all mad? 10%. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I recently went through an IRS audit in my business. You know what their number one complaint was? My charitable giving. What business of yours, Mr. IRS agent? How much we give to God? Well, we just feel like a company for your size and your profit structure. Why in the world would you give this much? It's none of your business. Hallelujah. You know, there may be some things in our bookkeeping. Hallelujah. There may be some things in our record keeping. There may be some things that we need to tidy up to fit your little laws. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go to the mat when you tell me I can't give money to God. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. Giving can be a reflection of your faith in God. I believe I can trust God with my finances. And I get greedy and I get in my spirit and say, it's mine. The moment I say that, that's when the mixed multitude begins to cause trouble in my heart, in my soul, and in my spirit. The Bible said this in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 1. It said, and the people grumbled and deplored their hardship, which was evil in the ears of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and devoured those in the outlying parts of the camp. The people cried to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire subsided. He called the name of the place Taberah, or burning, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the Bible said in verse 4, and the mixed multitude among them, the rabble who followed Israel from Egypt, began to lust greatly for familiar and dainty foods. And the Israelites wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish. We remember the garlic. We remember the onions and the leeks. We remember those things that we had in Egypt. See, there is a mixed multitude today that if you listen to them, you don't have to really live for God. You just got to make a prayer that's not even a prayer of faith. Just repeat after me and say these words, hallelujah, and now you're a Christian, you're born again, you get everything that you want, hallelujah, but their heart is far from him. Their heart is not seeking to please the word of God. They don't hunger. The Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you look up that word, hunger, it means to toil. It means to work for daily substance. I don't know about y'all, we went to Haiti several years ago, and when we went there, those little children were so hungry. Hallelujah. Those children would break your heart. Hallelujah. I remember we all took food because we didn't know what the food was going to be like. And we had suitcases with a little bit of clothes and a whole lot of food, a whole lot of Vienna sausage and things like this. And I can honestly say I don't think that I ate any of that. But those little kids, man, I've never seen kids devour those things so fast. They didn't even know how to open up the little Vienna sausage. But the moment that you turned them, showed them how to turn that top up and eat those things, they would be like a vacuum cleaner. So hungry. Literally, it was amazing how hungry that they were. Those kids literally get up in the morning and go around looking for something to sustain them. When we get hungry enough for God, that we jump up in the morning and our first concern is, I got to get me a dose of the Holy Ghost. I got to get me something from the Word of God that's going to make me an overcomer today. You know why so many people fall to temptation? They don't have any Word in them. They don't have a prayer life. They don't get up in the morning toiling for daily substance. They're not hungry for righteousness. Hallelujah. They're not hungry. They're not thirsty for the things of God. They're part of the mixed multitude that's just going along, see what I can get. I'm going to follow these Israelites, hallelujah, because evidently they know something we don't know, hallelujah, but the mixed multitude among them. Are you listening to that little voice down in your heart, hallelujah, that little voice, hallelujah, of doubt? Hallelujah. So many times I find myself praying that prayer, that man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Hallelujah. Because I don't care how holy and how spiritual you are, somewhere down inside of you, the voice of doubt wants to rear up. Hallelujah. You know, when we read about the mixed multitude later on, we find out, hallelujah, that the Bible, that the children of Israel all gathered together and they read the law. Hallelujah. They had to read the law, the entire law, every 7 years anyway. Hallelujah. And in one of these gatherings where they had read the law, the children of Israel was convicted. And the Bible said they put the mixed multitude out of the camp or away from them. See, there's just got to be a place inside of you, hallelujah, where you refuse to be defeated. You refuse, hallelujah, to let temptation steal, hallelujah, the glory of God from your life. Where you refuse, hallelujah, to let the cares of this life steal your anointing. Where you refuse, hallelujah, to let the things of the world come in and choke out the love of God. You refuse to look at this world and you wouldn't trade what God has done in your life, hallelujah, for any amount of money. Money or success or fame and fortune, where you come to the Word of God and the Word of God is everything to your life. The truth of God is all that matters, and you begin to throw out the doubt and the unbelief, and you begin to move those things in your life that weigh you down and keep you from overcoming, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset. Let us run this race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Run. Hallelujah. Not walk, not stumble. Hallelujah. Get up and do something for God. Get up. Cast out the mixed multitude. Hallelujah. The thing in your life, the doubt, the unbelief, the things in your life that cause you. I don't know. I tell you what. This thing is a fight. And if you're not willing to fight, man, just you're not going to make it. But this thing is a fight. Just being honest with you right now, hallelujah, the kingdom of heaven, the body of Christ is come. There's attack coming against the body of Christ. We're warring against something. Hallelujah. Our adversary is walking about looking, hallelujah, how he may devour, how he can hurt you, how that he can cause you to trip up. Hallelujah. And if there's a voice of doubt inside of you, if there's a voice of bitterness inside of you, if there's a voice of hatred inside of you, if there's something down inside of you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will use that. It will be magnified sevenfold in your mind. Every little thing, every little thought that he can attach himself to. Hallelujah. It'll become the mixed multitude that'll stir you up. Hallelujah. It'll cause, hallelujah, inconsistency in your prayer life. It'll cause inconsistency in your church. Hallelujah. In your coming to church, just being faithful to the house of God. It'll cause inconsistency in your Bible study. Hallelujah. Brother Chris said, why would you go to war without your sword? Why would you go to, why would you get up and try to face tomorrow's battle when you have an enemy? Hallelujah. And you don't have the Word of God to utilize. You don't have the Word of God. I need to get up in the morning. I need to get into the Word of God. I know God has got prepared for me what I need to survive that day and to be joyous and to overcome that day. And to win the battle that I'm going to face. I only trust God for that. I don't trust my own ability. I don't trust my own intellect. I'm not smart enough to figure this thing out. But if I'll just be faithful in getting on my knees and getting down and opening up the Word of God and begin to say, God, feed me today what I need. Give me today my daily bread. Give me what I need today to overcome the enemy, hallelujah, that's coming against me, and to glorify you and give you praise and glory. Hallelujah. If you don't get up and get into the Word, the devil's going to plant a doubt in your mind. Hallelujah. The old mixed multitude will begin to arise and murmur and complain. Hallelujah. The Bible said it's so important for us to know those things. Anybody ever thought you was doing the will of God and realized later, no, not so much? Don't tell me you're so holy you've never missed the Holy Ghost. And if you are, just come lay hands on me right now. We're going, here, you come preach. But the Bible tells us about this. We're talking about the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the Israelis, with the Israelites, but I'm talking about in your heart, in your life, in your soul, in your spirit. Those things. Don't tell me you didn't want to go bless somebody out every once in a while. The Bible said lay hands on no man suddenly. Sometimes I've wanted to. Hallelujah. Don't tell me that there's not a mixed multitude inside your spirit, your soul, that wants to bring discourse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that we got to try the spirits. We got to know them that labor among us. The Bible said in these days there'd be many false Christs, many who call themselves Christ, followers of Christ, false Christ, deceiving, preaching doctrines of devils, seductive things that are being said today. Hallelujah. Things, hallelujah, that feel really good to the flesh. Hallelujah. Things that feel really good to make you feel like I'm so spiritual. You know, when I really think I'm overcoming and I'm spiritual, I am cautious. I get really cautious and I get really worried. Because I found out the greatest things God has ever done for me is when I was so humble. Thank you, my brother. When I was broken and humble before God, and I just realized that there was nothing that I could do to change my situation. And I just laid down humbly before God and said, God, if it kills me, it's your will. I don't care. If it breaks me, I don't care. It's your will. What people think, I give my reputation to God a long time ago. I really don't care what you think about me. I don't care. My reputation belongs to God. Hallelujah. I just don't care. I just don't care. Hallelujah. You can say I'm the stupidest thing that ever stepped on the stage, and you know what? I'd love you anyway. But when you get to the place, hallelujah, that you realize there is no ability and strength in us other than God. Other than God. Hallelujah. So hallelujah, we got to try these spirits. Every voice that talks to you isn't God. Hallelujah. You know why this church isn't full this morning? There's been people that sat in this church and heard the truth. They're not here today because they listened to the wrong voice. They didn't stay. They didn't hear the voice of God. There was something inside. The mixed multitude got a hold of them somewhere and bred discontent in their heart and in their life and in their spirit and in their soul. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Ghost began to speak and the Word of God began to go forth, that mixed multitude began to say, wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute. Hallelujah. That mixed multitude will steal the glory of God from you. Hallelujah. It caused the children of Israel to murmur and complain. It caused the children of Israel, hallelujah, to not understand the blessings of God. Here they are in the middle of Egypt being fed with manna from heaven, being fed with wafers that taste like honey. Hallelujah. They could bake it. They could boil it. They could do anything they wanted to with it. They were being fed by God. Hallelujah. This wonderful thing called manna, and then they thought back to where they were encamped in slavery and said, I remember the onions and I remember the garlic. I remember those things back when I was a slave. When you get to the place that God is not so great, that you begin to look back to your drug addictions and you begin to look back to your affairs and you begin to look back to your alcoholism, how something is wrong with you. The mixed multitude is speaking to you and you need to shake yourself and get a hold of God. We need to glorify God. Hallelujah, that He feeds us manna every day, that His Word, hallelujah, is there every day to feast upon, hallelujah, and to share. My Lord, try the spirits. Beloved, believe not, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That means there's more false prophets than there are true prophets. There's more false prophets than there are true prophets. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be. But narrow is the way to life everlasting. And how many? Few. Are you one of the few, or are you one of the mixed multitude? Are you listening to the voice of truth? Are you listening to the doctrine of truth? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Just about on every TV station or radio station there is, you can find a religious connotation. They have a form of godliness, but the Bible said they deny the power thereof. See, the spirit of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wholeness. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of holiness. And if your Holy Spirit teaches you it's okay to commit fornication, it's not the Holy Spirit. We were on, anybody remember KVTT radio years ago, keep voicing the truth? We were on there, it's been 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, more. We called a pastor friend of mine, young guy. We were just youngsters in the gospel, just full of vigor, just ready to just, just run and preach. And, man, you couldn't get in front of us until we gave you a 30-minute sermon, you know. And then we'd tell you our name and then start to preach. And so we got really bold and called over there, Brother Elder Thomas, and said, hey, man, so we want to be on the radio. How much is it going to cost us to be on the radio? He said, I don't know. We'll pray about it. So we got called over to the radio station's office and got to talk to the station manager. They want us to come in. So we went into his office, and we were used to praying sometimes all night. I mean, literally, we'd go home from church and pray all night and go home and change clothes and go to work. And that didn't happen once a week or twice a week. It happened a lot, you know. And there would be many, you can ask my dear wife, there would be many nights I'd come home from church and get ready and go to work. Many mornings I'd come home from church where we'd been praying. So we went over to this station manager's office. We walked in his office, and he said, let's pray about this, brothers. So I just turned around, knelt down, and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Man, I just prayed in tongues. My brother next to me, he just prayed in tongues, you know. And I all of a sudden became aware of this real awkward silence coming from the other side of the desk. So after we had prayed for about 10 minutes, God, I know this is your will, God. We just really was getting it. We stopped, and I thought, man, I don't know how well this is going. This interview may be over. And then I heard from the other side of the desk, dear God, if this be your will, God, thinking, uh-oh. You know, he called us that week and said, can y'all do 2 hours? 2 hours a week free? Just no cost, free, 2 hours a week. Sure, you know. And KVTT was a pretty big station at the time, Christian station. Wasn't many around. So said, yeah. And we were thinking like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, church service kind of thing, you know. He said, we have from 1 o'clock Sunday morning to 3 o'clock Sunday morning. 2 hours. That's the time everybody's going home from the bars. That's the time everybody's going home from the bars, flipping through the station, and they can't find their beer drinking and cheating. They had a bank of phones over. Here was this, the studio, and two or three people could gather around, and they had several mics, and then there was like 6 or 8 phones over there. There was times that we couldn't get enough people to answer the phones. I can't tell you, even to this day, it wasn't long ago, someone emailed me and told me, said, I don't know if you remember, about 25 years ago, you were preaching on the radio. And she said, I was about to commit suicide. I was about to kill myself. And now she's in church. Her family's in church. She has 2 sons that are grown. They're worship leaders. See, hallelujah. One guy called in and he was crying and he was praying. He had committed murder. He had literally, he was a homosexual, a drug addict, and he prostituted himself to anybody and everybody. And he said, sometimes I'll sell myself to get drugs. And he said, my family won't have anything to do with me. And he said, sometimes I've gone out, and he said, I've literally, when rendered them incapacitated and killed people to steal for them to get drugs. And he's crying and he's praying for God to deliver him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there's not room for a mixed multitude in the church anymore. There's not room for discontent in the church anymore. We should be above that. If you want to fight, go somewhere else. There's too many souls in the balance. There's too many people that really want to hear the gospel. They don't care about appearing holy and righteous in your eyes. They don't care about making your grade. They want to make God's grade. The Holy Spirit to them is not pleasing you. It's pleasing God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, my friend. Hallelujah. The mixed multitude will bring division. It'll bring, hallelujah, trouble and turmoil. But the Bible said that try the spirits. Hallelujah. Try the spirits. The Bible said this, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. How do you know if it's the Spirit of God? Jesus himself said this. He said, if you believe not I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's just kind of my litmus test here. If there's a doctrine that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, throw it away. Run from it. So there's many doctrines in the world today that are accepted in Christendom that says Jesus Christ was a good man. He was a prophet. If he wasn't God incarnate, that's false doctrine. That's a lie. for God to be God, for Jesus Christ to be the only begotten Son of God, he's got to be 100% God and he's got to be 100% man. He is the tabernacle. He is the meeting place. Hallelujah. He is the place. He is the door. Hallelujah. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Hallelujah. The Bible said in John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the what? The Word was God. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Know if it's the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus was God in flesh. The God stepped down. Hallelujah. Took upon the robe of a man and walked upon the face of the earth and gave that. See, hallelujah. I believe that the Bible calls us to crucify our flesh. You know what Calvary was? It was God crucifying his flesh. It was God crucifying his flesh. Hallelujah. If they're not preaching that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, hallelujah, that all things were created by him and by him all things consist, if they're not preaching that, it is a false doctrine. Hallelujah. The Bible said, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, you know, well, we'll read it here in just a little bit, I think. I think we're going to read it here. So this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherefore you have heard that it should come, and even now already is what? In the world. I have a friend. His name is Saki, young man. He is the youngest, hallelujah, rabbinical judge in the highest court of Israel. Now, in Israel, they have their religious Supreme Court and they have their governmental Supreme Court. Saki is the youngest rabbinical member of the Israeli Supreme Court. And every once in a while, not very often, we get to chat. Hallelujah. The last time we were together, we were looking at a dig in Israel, and all the guys was, I felt at home. They's all packing cigs. They's all walking around. Those guys there, just, you know, handed me all these artifacts and telling me where they came from and how old they were, and I'm like, wow, that's cool, you know. But they were explaining how that this used to be a synagogue to worship Jehovah God. See, this used to be a synagogue where they came and worshiped 4,000 years ago. And then what happens is the Palestinians, you know, the enemy of Israel, come in and they want to erase the existence of God. They want to erase that place. So they build on top of this established synagogue and all of its things that are there. They build a shrine to Allah, or they build whatever that they're building. They build a mosque. And then the Crusaders, you know, when it comes down to, you really study history, Christians killed more Jews than the Muslims ever did. And so here comes the Crusaders, and they're not against, they're against everybody. That's what I say. Religion has killed more people than anything. Salvation killed one. Hallelujah. Salvation cost the life of one. Hallelujah. And so here comes the Crusaders, and now they got to tear down the mosque that's built over a synagogue, and they got to build a cathedral. So you begin to dig through these layers of thousands of years of history, and you begin to find these little things. Hallelujah. Sometimes in studying the Word of God, we got to get beyond our doubt and our unbelief and all of that religion that we have been taught over the years, that what we think is really godly and what we think is really important, we got to dig, believe all of that stuff that's been built up in our heart and our mind for years and years and years. But when we get down, hallelujah, to the place that it's just us and God, like the Apostle Paul said, all these great things that I've learned, all of the things that caused me to be a man that... of great value to the world. All of these things that made people look up to me and think that I was intelligent. Being a student of Gamaliel, being a man of impeccable morals and all of these things, they don't mean anything to me any longer. Hallelujah. All I want is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The spirit of Antichrist. Have you ever thought about the spirit, hallelujah, that was in Pharaoh when these children of Israel wanted to go out and worship God? They just wanted to go worship God, and he says, no, I'm God. You worship me. And so Moses kept saying, we need to go worship God. And finally he said, you can go out and worship God, just don't go too far. Don't go too far. But God showed him who was worthy of praise and worship. Hallelujah. What spirit was in Pharaoh that hardened his heart? Spirit of Antichrist. What about when Jesus was born and the angels appeared and caused his mom and dad to take him to Egypt? And every baby boy that was crucified, what spirit was working in? What about old Adolf Hitler when he stood on the brink of history and he looked over at the Jews and he began to persecute the Jews and found them as nothing more than dogs and began to take them to the gas chambers? We got to have dinner a couple of years ago with a couple of Holocaust survivors. They were a married couple in their 80s, I guess, when we had dinner with them. It was such an enlightening experience. They were just mere children during the Holocaust, survived that, began to tell us a story about their parents and their family. And it was an awesome time of fellowship and talking about the Lord. What spirit possessed Adolf Hitler? Yeah. See, just like Jesus Christ was the embodiment of God, there's always been a spirit of Antichrist in the world. Now, one day he'll be embodied in the man of sin. One day there'll be embodiment of the spirit of Antichrist that will be in the man of sin. We'll know that. Hallelujah. It's coming. The Bible prophesies that. But there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world today. And when somebody can stand up and say that me hearing from the voice of God, or thank God for a vice president, thank God for a vice president, thank God for a vice president who will seek the will of God and say, I'm listening. Oh, here, talk to me, God. I got to hear from you. I'm listening. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. Thank God for a man of God. Thank God that every week now there's Bible studies going on in the White House. Thank God that that's happening in America. But there's still, hallelujah, this spirit of Antichrist that's in our world today. There's that mixed multitude, hallelujah, that wants to stand up. I read recently, hallelujah, where some denominational church stood up and had a big ceremony for one of their homosexual priests who's transgendered, and now they're having a ceremony to change their name. I don't know if it's changing his name or her name or what. I give up. If they can't figure it out, I can't either, Hallelujah. I just know that there's an X chromosome and there's a Y chromosome, and God put it there, and whichever one you got, that's what you are. Hallelujah. You better stay there. Hallelujah. And they're having a big sermon. There is a mixed multitude in the world today. Don't you allow anyone to come and make you think that, hallelujah, that preaching the truth is too hard. Don't let anyone persuade you into believing that you don't have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Years ago when I was a young boy, hallelujah, they preached it hot. I'm telling you, I don't think anybody was saved. They preached it so hot, hardly anybody was saved. They was worried about themselves. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, hallelujah, that there's a mixed multitude in the world today that tells us we can't speak again these things. Hallelujah. There's a mixed multitude, hallelujah, in the world today that says that all we have to do is just confess our faith. But the Bible said faith without works, dead. I grant you we're saved by faith. I grant you there's nothing I can do to merit the eternal salvation that Jesus Christ has given. I tell you there's nothing I can do. Hallelujah. But you know what? Once he gives it to me, it changes me. If it's the real Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of holiness. If it's the real Holy Ghost, it begins to talk to me about my attitude. God ever talked to you about your attitude? Hallelujah. Chances are, if he hadn't, you hadn't got into his word,
You hadn't got down on your knees very long, because when you get down on your knees and you begin to open up the Bible, he'll begin to show you some stuff. Yeah, I thank God he's talking to Vice President Mike Prince. He talks to me. I believe he talks to anybody who has an open heart. I believe you can be a ranked sinner out in the world and realize that you need a Savior. Get down on your knees and say, God, help me. And he begins to talk to you. He begins to deal with you. He begins to do something in your life. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. I thank God that y'all are here today. You know, I've seen this building a whole lot fuller than this. But you know something? Some of them may have been mixed multitude. Hallelujah. You're not going to fall for that, are you? The truth is too precious to be watered down with my own ideology. The truth is too precious. My ideology won't save you. It won't save me. Hallelujah. The truth is too precious. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that if salt has lost its savor, what good is it? If we get to the place that we let the mixed multitude begin to determine what we teach, preach, and we begin to worry about the size of the congregation, you know. Hallelujah. When we get to the place, I know I'm safe in saying that here, because I know you folks. I know Kevin, Clover, and I know they're going to stand for truth. You know, I believe it was Clover that said, thank you for being here. Thank me. Yeah, amen. Don't thank me. It's an honor to be in the house of truth. It's an honor to be in a place where God's word, hallelujah, is lifted up above any man's ideology, any man's thought. Hallelujah. I told Kevin, I know some folks have left. You know, I pastored. I know. Man, your heart breaks and follows them, every one of them, out the door. It does. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care how much hardship they cause you. I don't care how much it hurts. When they walk out that door, your heart breaks, and it goes with every one of them. A piece of your heart goes with every one of them. But, you know, almost, I can say this with almost without reservation, but very, very few that ever left our little church that we pastored didn't come back later and say, man, if I'd have just stayed. If I'd have just listened. If I just hadn't let my ego overcome. If I hadn't just let my attitude, hallelujah. I've heard that so many times. Hallelujah. The mixed multitude. I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you. There is a mixed multitude. In your mind, it's going to tell you that's hard preaching. Yeah, well, it's tight, but it's right. Hallelujah. It's tight, but it's right. You want to go to heaven or you want to have fellowship? Because I'm all into having dinners and barbecues. I love that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, none of it compares to heaven. man, give me a guitar and we'll worship and we'll just have a good. But man, I have some pretty nice guitars, but I don't have a heaven harp yet. And one of these days, I want to get a hold of one of those heavenly harps. I love to hear people worship down here on earth. I desire to hear the host of heaven. I desire to hear the angels of heaven praise him. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you today, my friend, if there's anything in your heart, if there's any bit of resistance to the whole entire Word of God, if there's anything inside of you, of any jealous or bitterness or envy or anything inside of you, get rid of it. It's a mixed multitude that will destroy you. It'll raise up and cause you, hallelujah, to be discontent when God is giving you manna from heaven, when God is feeding you the riches of heaven. It will cause you, how could you be discontent? One more thing and I'll close. Yeah, y'all believe me, don't you? The manna God was giving them, they were to go out and get it every day, that day for that day. The only time they could get more than enough for the allotted day was on the Sabbath. And you didn't work on the Sabbath, so the day before the Sabbath, you got enough for 2 days. What happened to that manna if they went out and got more than they needed and left it in their container? The Bible said that it bred worms. And stank, it run. Yesterday's manna gets old. Yesterday's manna, it's no good. Yesterday's anointing won't get you far. For years and years, the church has testified about what used to be. Hallelujah. It's a shame that the divorce rate in the church today is as high as it is in the world. Because a lot of us are living on yesterday's manna. Bless God, God gave me that message 15 years ago. I'm still preaching it today. Hallelujah. Yesterday's manna gets old. It gets stale. You need something from God today. Hallelujah. You need a fresh anointing, a new anointing. You need a blessing from God right now. You need something today. You need a word from God right every morning, every day. You need to hear from the voice of God. Hallelujah. Pastor Chris, would you come on, brother? I'm gonna inquire of you today. Would you stand with me just for a little bit as Pastor comes? Again, it's such an honor to be here. We just thank you so much for the opportunity. Would you do me a favor and would you look real deep down in your heart? Go beyond the profession of your faith and our little, holy motions that we go through. Go beyond all of that and look way down deep in your heart. Is there a voice of discontent that could cause a mixed multitude to rise up? I don't want Kevin to tell me next time I talk to him we lost some more. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I know that to walk out of an anointed house of God, there has to be a mixed multitude inside of someone that's causing turmoil that don't have to be there, because in the name of Jesus, it's got to go. It's got to go. I want every one of us here today to be totally surrendered to the Word of God and to the will of God and say to God, God, whatever you got for me, it's your will, it's your purpose. I don't need a reputation. I'm going to follow you. If you, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Hallelujah. You've gave me plenty. Hallelujah. And you've caused me to, Paul said, I know how to be abound. I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. It doesn't matter to me. God is still God no matter what's in the pocketbook. God's still God no matter what's going on around me. God is God. He is enough. He is enough. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient. If you're here today, I want you to look inside your heart. I want you to look deep. And if there's anything, if there's a voice of confusion, if there's a voice of division in your heart, I want you to talk to God about it today before we leave. Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You got a choice to make. Going to be obedient. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. I asked my brother one time. He pastors a church, small church there. So what are you teaching on? What are you teaching on? We usually just get to visit on Sundays when we're down there for the weekend. So what are you teaching on? He said, well, we teach the Word of God. He says, but every Sunday morning, I'm casting that net. That stuck with me. We're to cast that net every day. Cast that net. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. I love to go fishing. My papaw loved to go fishing. We're to be fishers of men. Real men. I see those bumper stickers going down the road. Real men love Jesus. No, real men follow the Word of God. Real men follow the Word of God. It ain't about how much weight you can push on a bench. It ain't about how much money you got in your pocket. It ain't about the vehicle that you drive out there. All those things are about what the world tells you. Every single one of them. What it's really about is eternity. It's really about eternity. It's what the Word of God says. So you're going to be obedient to it? This is real. You're going to die. You're going to die. It's been ordained by God. It's going to happen. You're just trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm tired of you being lied to. I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of seeing what the devil is accomplishing in people's lives. It doesn't have to be that way. The truth is a lie. and the darkness cannot stand it. I've seen too many families torn apart from it, from the lies of deception. It doesn't have to be. This ain't no show. This ain't no act. This is the real. Stubblefield's here. It's the real deal. It's real. In the beginning, he said that he created the light to separate the darkness. Where do you stand? There is no fence in between. You don't straddle. You either serve one or you serve the other. It is that simple. And it's that real. It's that important. It's that important. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm trying to tell you the truth this morning. Will you listen? All I can do is ask. I can't force you to do anything. Will you listen? Will you receive? It's not about coming down here and saying a prayer and going through some process or what have you. It's truly about surrendering your life to God, laying it all down, giving up self. Giving up self. I know that belly God is yelling at you right now. It's lunchtime. Yeah, you got to feed that flesh. You got to keep it nourished and what have you, but your soul is more important this morning. That's why we hang that banner up there, so you can't miss it. I pray you're going to heaven so that you can take another soul with you. The opportunity is now. I'm going to help you along. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The opportunity is now. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The reason we do that is because, well, maybe the devil's in your head right now, and he's, man, if they see you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's between you and God. I ask you this morning, today is the day. Will you receive? The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me before man, that I will be ashamed of you. I will reject you. I will not acknowledge you before the Father. The pastor makes it real simple. I'm going to count to three. And if you choose to accept Christ, to lay down self and accept him, pop your hand up. One, two, three. I know the Holy Spirit's obedient. Are you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. God, for the word that went forth, that you ordained, that you commanded. God, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. God, the seed falls upon fertile ground. God, that the prison ministry, the prison team that's gone out, that fruit be multiplied. God, that you bestow upon them safe travels. God, in every opportunity that we've given, throughout today, throughout the rest of this week, God, that we see it, that we accept it to glorify you and your kingdom. God, those that are sick with infirmities and losses, God, Holy Spirit, rise up. Because you promised us a comforter. So we stand upon that promise. God, that there not only be